first to that row over the decision of the Crown Corlaith Sean Barrett not to allow debate in the Dáil on a motion establishing an inquiry into allegations of Garda malpractice. The motion was allowed to go through on a vote only after Mr. Barrett received a letter from solicitors for former Justice Minister Alan Shatter asking that the Crown Corlaith rule out of order the Dáil motion, which stated that the inquiry would examine the investigation of those allegations of malpractice by the Gardaí and by Mr. Shatter. Now, Mr. Shatter has taken High Court proceedings in relation to that Geerin report, which examined the allegations against Gardaí made by whistleblower Maurice McCabe, which, of course, knocked on into the Dáil earlier this week. But speaking on RTE Radio earlier today, Sean Barrett said his decision, the decision he took, was not influenced by the letter from Mr. Shatter's legal team.
I received a letter from a firm of solicitors addressed to the Crown Corlaith of Dáil Éireann, not a personal letter from Alan Shatter, that I took a decision in the interest of them, the public, so that an investigation can proceed immediately without hauling the possibility of the House of the Oireachtas being hauled up to the High Court and this matter being delayed and thousands of euros being spent on legal fees.
Sean Barrett speaking on RTE Radio earlier on today. All of this, of course, is about what the Dáil can or cannot debate. We'll be talking to Pádraig McLoughlin of Sinn Féin about this a little later on. We were looking today for the Justice Minister, Francis Fitzgerald, who wasn't available. We were also looking for the Environment Minister, Alan Kelly, the Deputy Leader of the Labour Party. He's quoted today in the Irish Times as having criticised Mr. Barrett and speaking of, quote, a constitutional crisis. We look for clarity from Minister Kelly. We got back a statement saying, quote, the Deputy Leader of the Labour Party and Minister Alan Kelly does not comment or speculate on matters that are said in private Labour Party meetings. Now, that letter from Mr. Shatter's solicitors argued that the motion in question, that Dáil motion, would be an actual attempt to encroach on the functions of the court. So what are the rules, or are there rules? David Kenny is an assistant professor in law at TCD.
Yes, so there is specific rules in the standing orders of the Dáil for debates on matters that are currently the subject of court proceedings, Order 57 of the standing orders. And the order generally allows debate, even on matters where there is pending litigation. It's raised in such a way that members should not be stopped from raising matters that are related to litigation if it's in the public interest to do so and it's related to public policy. But there are two particular exceptions to that. The first is when the matter is going to go before a jury, which is not the case here. And the second is if it will be raised in such a way that it might seem to be an attempt by the Dáil to influence the judicial functions and the resolution of the judicial process to raise the matter in a debate. And that, it seems, is the claim being made in this instance. Essentially, the orders go on to suggest that if the matter is allowed to proceed, then there is a duty on TDs to not comment on the matter in a way that is likely to result in prejudicing the outcome of the judicial proceedings. So in the end, I suppose it's a factual question that the Crown Corlaith has to answer in deciding whether or not to allow a debate to go ahead. Would raising the matter in the way suggested in the motion be likely to be seen as an attempt to influence the judicial functions? And would it perhaps be likely that comments prejudicial to the outcome of the proceedings would be made in the context of that debate? That essentially is the question that the Crown Corlaith has to answer in deciding whether or not to invoke one of these exceptions and stop a debate going ahead.
And in that latter context, where he does allow a debate to go ahead, then he or she would need to be able to corral the conversation in such a way as to prevent any sub judice comment being made.
Yes, the orders are clear that there's supposed to be a duty on the members themselves to not make any such comment, and obviously it's the responsibility of the Crown Corlaith to make sure that that duty is honoured. So it would ultimately be the responsibility of the Crown Corlaith to try and ensure that that was done.
And the distinction you made earlier in those two cases, and the one where it might be a criminal case where there would be a jury, where members of the public might be influenced by what was said in the Dáil, but in this instance, if it's the High Court, it's just one judge sitting, and the argument is that one person is unlikely to be swayed by anything said in the Dáil.
Yes, it seems to be that the orders make that distinction to distinguish between jury trials on the one hand, which might be more susceptible to those matters going on in the political arena, and to matters being heard before a judge where we expect strong judicial independence, and we would think it perhaps unlikely that their independence would be swayed. And that is perhaps why that distinction is drawn, and why the second category focuses more on a perceived attempt by the Dáil to intervene in a judicial process. That's probably the reason for that distinction there.
And that was David Kenny. He's an assistant professor in law at Trinity College Dublin.